You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Scientists have finally found the clitoris.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. Little is known about many parasites, despite their prevalence worldwide in Aotearoa New Zealand as well. These parasites include Cryptosporidium and Toxoplasmosis, which are both often transmitted from animals to humans. Research has shown both parasites are dangerous to humans, with symptoms including vomiting and fevers. I spoke to research fellow at the University of Otago, Dr. Remy Musson, about these parasites and the need for research funding in this area. What are Cryptosporidium and Toxoplasmosis, and how are they transmitted?
So, well, that's a loaded question, Lydia. So they are, Toxoplasma and Cryptosporidium parasites are both protozoan parasites. For humans, these are the most important ones. And although Toxoplasma and Cryptosporidium are both largely transmitted by contaminated food and water, the diseases they cause are entirely different from one another. For crypto is obviously my favorite one because I've been working with it for the past 5 years with Professor Bruce Russell at the University of Otago.
Why are they dangerous? What are the effects of these parasites?
Well, they're quite unique. So toxoplasma infections could make a person unaware of any symptoms while their immune system is fighting the parasite. Sometimes you can get flu symptoms with painful muscle aches. However, it's far more serious if someone infected is a pregnant person, and because it can increase the risk of miscarriage and stillbirth. As for Cryptosporidium, you get the classic symptoms of intestinal infections, you know, like nausea, diarrhea, fever, etc. But we are very fortunate in New Zealand that no one died from the recent outbreak. Okay, before we go into the symptoms, people need to be aware, Olivia, that globally, if a child under the age of 5 is infected with crypto, there is a really good chance, let's say 30 to 50%, that this child will die or have long-term health complications. But I haven't even gone into the, I haven't gone into the things that we still don't know about them, but we can cover that later.
On this issue, what are the treatments for these parasites?
Well, for Cryptosporidium, we don't have really effective treatments for Cryptosporidium. We have natazoxanide, which works really well, but it doesn't work really well on most children or people with a compromised immune system. Let's say if you are someone who is an AIDS patient, so the treatments would not work for that at all. Well, there are some treatments for toxoplasmosis or the toxoplasma, but again, we still don't know a lot about these parasites.
In your opinion, what steps should the government take around precautions and safety regarding these parasites?
If we talk about Cryptosporidium, for example, so even before the incident in Queenstown, Cryptosporidium infections have always been among the top annual notifiable diseases, sometimes even top three. I think we should address the elephant in the room using two facts. So one, cattle, so all cows are the number one host sources for Cryptosporidium parasites. And two, we have a tremendous livestock industry. So New Zealand's biggest exports are dairy products. And there's at least 6 million dairy cows in New Zealand, not counting the other livestock and livestock farms destined for meat. If we combine these two facts, we can arguably say that crypto is the most dangerous. Other countries have shown a severe economic impact due to Cryptosporidium, and the impact can range from healthcare to production yields. So the government's initiative to install the protozoan barriers in water supplies will help a lot, but we will still have no effective treatments or vaccines against Cryptosporidium or Toxoplasma. And just like the other parasites, we don't really understand how their life cycle works. So I think what the government needs also to do is we need more parasitologists. We need more research funding. So our lab has established a robust drug screening platform or Cryptosporidium, one of the very few in the world. But we struggled quite a bit to get where we are due to lack of funding, and which was obviously worsened by the COVID-19 epidemic.
Are there any individual actions people can do to reduce their risks of transmittal, or things that people should be aware of?
Yeah, okay. So we'll always watch what you put in your mouth, obviously. Even if it's just a pen while daydreaming, so I do that a lot. Watch your pets too, especially if you're a cat person, Are you a cat person, Olivia?
I actually am, yes.
Okay, so you need to hear this. The cats are the only animals we know that can complete the life cycle of toxoplasma. So they allow the release of infective toxoplasma parasites. These will be shed by your cat in its stool, which you may accidentally ingest or even inhale. If it gets dry, you can even inhale it. With crypto, it gets worse. So if you are infected, that can spread like wildfire. So make sure you are well isolated. Sure, if you're a healthy adult, you'll likely get your typical tummy symptoms, fever, nausea, etc. But if you are a child or immune system is compromised, then the parasite will surely exploit your body even further, which can lead to death or long-term complications.
Can you be tested for it? And can your animals also be tested for it?
Yeah, of course. You can. See, the thing is about toxoplasma, if you test your cat, that you can do some antibody testing, but it won't show you if the cat had it or had it. Does that make sense?
You mean if they've had it previously?
So if the cat already had toxoplasma, it will produce the antibodies. So I think the levels of antibodies is also important, but it's quite difficult to determine if the cat has it or not. Most of the symptoms are asymptomatic. Most of the infected hosts are asymptomatic, so they don't show any symptoms.
What don't we know about these parasites?
There's a lot we actually don't know a lot of. That's why they are classified as neglected diseases. But here's another fun fact. I think at least it's estimated that a third of the world is actually infected with toxoplasma. Within a conversation like such as this one, so you, me, and the guy next door, one of us has toxoplasma, likely, without any symptoms. But intriguingly, so this is the problem. Toxoplasma parasites can invade brain tissues. And this is where it gets a bit dark, because there's now more and more evidence directly linking toxoplasma to serious mental health disorders, ranging from depression to anxiety to even increased aggression. And we have no clue how many in the population are affected or how many of mental health patients in the country are directly linked to toxoplasma infections, given the very high rate. As for cryptosporidium parasites, well, they can live up to 6 months on any surface you can think of, whether it's wet or dry. And the secret to this longevity of this parasite is the shell they're encased in, known as the oocyst, and they can survive everything, including chlorine and alcohol-based disinfectants. That's why in swimming pools that just doesn't work. I mean, in short, we're surrounded by cryptosporidium parasites, especially in rural areas. And yes, no one dies from this here, but there is also growing evidence in developing countries with infected young children displaying slower growth and cognitive development. So in Bangladesh, for example, 75% of poor children are infected with cryptosporidium parasites. That's horrible. And more than half of them display stunted growth. So we don't know how much of this affects New Zealand's children on a long-term basis, especially with the highest population that always gets cryptosporidium in New Zealand are children under the age of 5.
Are there any other countries that in New Zealand we wish to follow the research models of or treatments that they've been using that we also want to have here?
So there is no treatment for cryptosporidium. So if you want to treat cryptosporidium, you have to treat it at the source. And the source of it is usually cattle, livestock, so all these animals, like even sheep, but we should do cattle. There is one drug for cattle, but it's actually it's a bit expensive and it's harder to use because you have to consult vets to get it. But like I said before, cryptosporidium spreads like wildfire. So we desperately need something that is easy and something that you can give to all the herd without any complication. There is no effective treatment against cryptosporidium anywhere.
That's a depressing note to end on, but
it's a bit frustrating because people really need to consider a career in parasitology. There's not many parasitologists. They're extremely difficult to understand, these parasites, and that one of the main reasons for that is because we share a common ancestor with them more than, let's say, bacteria. So their targets, their cellular machinery is somewhat similar to ours. So it's really tough to find specific targets against them. And cryptosporidium, there's a fun fact, can spread to many, many hosts. So that includes dogs, cats, even fish, birds. Anything you can think of, Cryptosporidium can be found there.
That was research fellow at the University of Otago, Dr. Remy Musson, speaking to me about parasitic threats in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.